don't know about some of the rest of you, but if I left right now, I'd be very full. I'd be very full. It was just beautiful music, beautiful treatment. Paul, thank you so much. You're just amazing. And off he goes to do the Resource Center, and who knows what else that man does. So I spoke to our speaker this morning, and I said, well, I could just talk about my love for you and our relationship, but I'll cry. So that's intact. But what I want you to know is some of the achievements of our speaker this morning. And some of you, we call you friends of Kathy. We know you're here. We are also friends of Vision. Come back next week. But we are here because some of us were belong to a center called Pacific Church. And Kathy was our senior minister for 15 years. And it was very meaningful and very, very heart-opening and dear to all of us. The world wanted her, so she went on to be the spiritual leader for the center, so for the United Church of Religious Science. And what happened in that was her intention, along with a lot of other amazing leaders, to pull back together this thing called Religious Science International, United Church of Religious Science, and we became one, just like we sing about, just like we know in our hearts. So she was part, yes, thank you. Let's acknowledge that. So part of that intention to, and the heart and the leadership that it took to bring that back to one expression called United Centers. So we're here as part of that at Vision. We love that. The other thing that some of you know about our speaker, Reverend Kathy. I'm trying not to call her Kathy. That's so familiar. My friend Kathy, you might know about her. She has been involved in all these global summits. You know, talking about New Thought, representing us in New Thought summits around the world. So I'm very grateful for that. She is deeply spiritual, highly inspirational, immensely wise. Please help me welcome Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn.
Let me tell you about my friend Billy. Good morning. How are you? Really happy to see all of you and to be here today. I always appreciate the invitation to come to Vision. It means a lot. It's like my heart comes home when I'm here. So it's just beautiful. And I agree. I was going to say something similar. If we left now, it would be, in fact, let's go. I would be full. There's already so much that's been said and prayed about and sung. And Paul, have you thought about ministerial school? Yeah. Where are you? Yeah. Ministerial school, my eye is on you. Anyway, I'll catch up with you. So thank you. It's already so rich. So I'm here today to speak into the theme that Reverend Patty has established for the month, which is a world that works for everyone. And I'm so very glad to see that theme acknowledged in one of our centers, because that's a really important phrase and intention for our organization. And I've loved it and nurtured it for a long time within my own heart. And I want to take that theme really inside today and to say that where my thoughts go today about that theme is that for me, in a world that works for everyone, we are each honoring and appreciating the deep path of our lives. That we are loving our lives entirely. So take a breath on that one. And I'll do my best to convince you about that today. And that we're not treating our lives just as a series of events and this and that, some of which we like sometimes and sometimes we don't like them, but that we're actually digging down into a deeper experience of what our life is actually about. And so are you with me so far? Oh, good. Thanks for saying yes. So I had an epiphany the other day, or what we would call these days a download from spirit. And I was walking a path that I love to walk. It is my walking path. It starts at a little parking center, a little parking area, right near the corner of Prospect and Torrey Pines. And when you park your car there, you go down some wooden steps and down through a pathway that's all a cement pathway that's beautifully overgrown, down to the cliffs, which go along toward La Jolla Cove. and it is the closest thing I can get to Big Sur in my neighborhood. And so I love to go there. And then the path goes down into La Jolla Cove and then on through the park and on down to where the houses begin. And as I was walking that path a couple weeks ago, and I was there last night as well, as I have done so many times, as I was coming back up the incline to the wooden steps, I suddenly had this like little mini life review. You know how they say when you're about to check out, your life flashes before your eyes? Well, I wasn't checking out. I think I was checking in, actually. And I saw, kind of in a huge flash, just how many times I have walked that path and what was going on in my life while I have walked it. So I've walked that. So I've been walking that path for 22 to 25 years, really consistently, really consistently. And so I've walked the path married and not married. I've walked the path in and out of relationship and sometimes in and out of the same relationship a couple of times. I've walked the path when my kids were in elementary school and middle school, high school, college. Now my son is married with kids. I've walked the path as the minister of Pacific Church and then not the minister of Pacific Church, as the leader of our organization and then not the leader of the organization. I've walked through personal issues, organizational issues, kids' issues, sickness and health, just about everything. I'm leaving out, I'm sure, a whole lot of things, but, you know, it could get boring. So I have walked that path so many times through so many things, walking, sometimes walking off, sometimes walking for, sometimes processing, praying, letting go, and always indulging my love affair with the ocean. You know, checking on the animals, just having the experience. And the flash that came to me after that little review was the path remains the same. And that's the title of the talk today, The Path Remains the Same. And that was literally true, that this path has remained the same through all of those shifts and changes of my life, these countless things that have gone on. That literal path has remained the same, but even more powerfully, the deep path, the inner path of my life has been the same. No matter what the shifts and changes were at the surface and all those comings and goings and all kinds of things happening, the path has remained the same. In other words, what I have been working on, I'm still working on at the deepest level of my being, and that does not mean that there hasn't been progress. That from the get-go, in this lifetime, I have been working on self-trust, self-expression, service, and love. And the path has been the same. And I began to see how it's so easy to treat our life as externals when really the deepest part of what's going on for us is this deep path where we're actually becoming who we truly are and we're awakening to the greater truth. Because all along the way, I loved it, it was in one of the songs, all along the way, I've been awakening to be whole, happy, and free, basically. Whole, happy, and free. And to love and trust the self that I am and bring it as powerfully as I can into the world. So in the seeing, I began to see where life is really lived. And that opens this grand possibility for us really loving our lives and loving our lives entirely. In fact, somebody said that, and I was trying to find the quote. Now that I think about it, it's probably Emma Curtis Hopkins. But it's something about how our entire evolution is to create a creature that loves its life entirely. And I invite you to try that on as a grand possibility for yourself. So it is said that there are four basic areas of life, I think I've talked about this before here, in which we do our basic learning: health, relationship, career, and finances. Can you relate to that? And it's not that we don't have to dabble in all of them, but sometimes we will specialize in one in particular, that it becomes the path of the greatest trials and tribulations and the greatest learning. And I want to say that that is true. I think it's interesting to look at that and see where you specialize. I know mine. You might probably can figure out yours. And yet, there's something even deeper than that going on. That what those areas of life do is they provide the material or the grist for the mill of awakening. They provide the material that requires us to go deep into ourselves if we want to use our life as a learning experience. They require us to go beneath the surface and to move through all of the obstacles and come out to a self that feels much more free and much more happy. And so I want to invite you today to start taking the deeper look at your life. And I don't mean to imply that you're not, but I'm encouraging you to do. And to begin to see really the through line or the deepest place that you have been working along your soul pathway. Because the work that I've been working on is the work of my soul in this lifetime. And it's powerful to see it. And it also gives me the opportunity to really love it, which I do. And that doesn't mean I've loved every single thing about it. So it is to look deep and begin to feel this deeper story of unfoldment. And it's a call. To do this work is a call to stop treating our lives so superficially and judging our lives based on the comings and goings and the shifts and the changes at the surface level, because that isn't really what it's all about. That's just the material for the awakening. It's about coming to the deeper place, because sometimes we treat our lives as these things where we just have to keep adjusting the circumstances and hopefully one day we'll get it right. Or am I the only one who has been tempted to do that? So here's a quotation from Eckhart Tolle. He says, "You find peace not by rearranging the circumstances of your life, but by realizing who you are at the deepest level." You find peace not by rearranging the circumstances of your life, but by realizing who you are at the deepest level. The deepest level is your deep uniqueness. It's the you that is you that can be nobody else. It's the deep dharma of your being, the deep law of your being. It's your essence and where that becomes what you do in the world. The great statement of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. And sometimes we don't know what to do in our lives because we haven't really plumbed the depths of who we are to know what is actually truly deep and unique. So how about loving our lives entirely? What a concept. What a concept. And you know, isn't it odd to not love our lives entirely? I mean, really, doesn't that seem like an odd thing since it's your life and you got it? It reminds me, there's just a little snippet of a Buddhist story about an elephant who is in service to the king. And an elephant in service to the king dedicates its entire being, all parts of its body, to the service of the king. But in this story, there's an elephant that gives its forefeet and its hind feet and its back and its body and its strength, but it keeps trying to protect its trunk. That is not an elephant in service to the king. And so the idea here is, where do you withhold? You know, where do you withhold your love of your own life? The more I think about it, that's really crazy. As long as you're living it, why not love it and then see how it blossoms out of your love and nurturing? Don't we all blossom when we're loved and nurtured? So think on these things. So how do we start loving our lives entirely? Well, I would say, first of all, you start reaching for the deep story. You start feeling for the deep story and start appreciating all of the richness of the journey. I was thinking about a friend of mine. I have a very dear friend who has been incredibly ill in really difficult ways. I will spare you the details because they are not pretty. She's been ill for a couple of years now, going from one difficulty to another, kind of spiraling down, and I think the movement up is starting right now. And she's making it through because she's really strong. And she's really strong-willed. And of course, we cling to life. You know, we want to live. We cling to life. And what I see is incredible perseverance. And I see the beauty that is happening in her. And I tell her that as well. I see this beauty that is coming forward that is not so physical. It's the beauty of her spirit as she travels through this incredibly difficult time. Mary Oliver has a little line in a poem. It's actually called The Buddha's Last Instruction, if you're into looking up poems. But the line is, I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. And I would invite you to go to the depths of your process and your journey. Your soul is on a journey of discovery. And feel how you've been turning into something of inexplicable value. You're incredible. You're of incredible value to all the people who know you and love you. You're an incredible value to me today because you're here listening to me. And yet, it's ours to see the value and to nurture it and love it for ourselves and not be judging by all these exterior things that we keep trying to shift and change. I've already brought that point home. I think you got that one. So that's the first thing, is start feeling for the deep story and see how you are turning into something of inexplicable value. The second thing is to I'm laughing because this is so my stuff, is to release the pernicious practice of comparison and caring about what other people think beyond a reasonable appreciation for the impact we have on each other, you know. That comparison, along with guilt and worry, is one of the most useless things that we do. When you think about it take a breath now, everybody. when you think about it on a spiritual level. And when we compare, at least the pernicious way I do it, is to look out, you know, at people and start judging myself based on the appearances, the way that I'm seeing them. You know, that somebody has more money or a better house or they've got a relationship that looks like it's just so incredible. And using our own projections and appearances, the way we see things, and use it against ourselves in some way that something's missing and something's lacking. Now, what's really interesting is that I know people that I've had moments of envy about, and it turns out over time that they have had, including my friend that I mentioned, they've had intense, difficult challenges that I am so grateful I do not have. And so there is a saying that you can't judge your insides by someone else's outsides. You cannot judge your insides by someone else's outsides. You have your own soul assignment. Every single person has their own soul assignment, and you have no clue, based on the appearances, what their soul assignment is. You have no clue. Better to turn your attention to your own and be about your own. And when we start caring about what other people think, and you know why I'm bringing this up? Because I'm doing mop-up on these issues. Really, this is it. I am. This is mop-up time for me. I'm like so over it, really. When we start caring about and worrying about what other people think, and again, I think we have to have a healthy notion of what our impact is on people, but I'm talking about something beyond that, we really abdicate our responsibility for our own deep truth. So I want to share with you something from the Gospel of Thomas, which is one of the Gnostic Gospels, and somebody just gave me a new translation of it. And this little line says, "Do not be concerned from morning till evening and from evening until morning about what you will wear." Do not be concerned from morning until evening and from evening until morning about what you will wear. I love it. I mean, buried in the desert, here's great truth, you know. And the interpretation goes on to share two meanings of it. That the first one level of meaning about this is that we are to have faith in God and the divine potential in us and know that all will be provided. I love that song about God is perfectly able, that whatever we need is provided for us. In fact, you know, you can use the affirmation today I have everything I need, you know, and by golly, it will be true tomorrow for sure. So another talk, I'm not getting into that. But it's to know that God's hand is always at work, that grace is accomplishing what it is that Spirit wants us to do, that there is something that Spirit is always in the mix, and that all of the circumstances and the situations and the things that are wonderful and the things that are difficult are the way your soul is being educated by Spirit. If we will get the lesson and if we will take the work in deep to do the unfolding that we've been talking about. And so the encouragement is to find the center of repose in the middle of all things, the center of repose in the middle of all things, so that we're not riding the wheel of life at the edge where it's thrilling but difficult, but instead we're standing in the center and living that kind of centered life. So that's the first level of meaning. The second level of meaning is about loving the truth of your own being and living the truth of your own being and not living by the ways of the world. In other words, to live from the deep place and not to be caught up in our world, which is filled with materiality and superficiality. Have you noticed? You know, with all kinds of things that make us think we need this or that external material thing in order to be happy. So it's to cease worrying about what other people think and even how we appear to other people. Because the minute that we do that, we're moving away from the deep indwelling truth of our own being and we're making something else more important. And when we start worrying about what other people think, we have moved away from our own truth and we're not worshiping God at the center of our being anymore. We're actually worshiping the false idols of our own projections. And that's what I have to say about that. So, this talk is really about following your own path, but following your own really deep path. I have a little Rumi poem. It starts off a little odd, but you'll get it at the end. This is from Coleman Barks' translation. Who lets a bucket down and brings up a flowing prophet? Or like Moses, goes for fire and finds what burns inside the sunrise? Jesus slips into a house to escape enemies and opens a door to the other world. Solomon cuts open a fish and there's a gold ring. Omar streams in to kill the prophet and leaves with blessings. Chase a deer and end up everywhere. An oyster opens its mouth to swallow one drop. Now there's a pearl. A vagrant wanders empty ruins. Suddenly he's wealthy. Don't be satisfied with poems and stories of how things have gone with others. Unfold your own myth without complicated explanation, so everyone will understand the passage we have opened you. Start walking toward God. Your legs will get heavy and tired. Then comes a moment of feeling the wings you've grown lifting. So don't be satisfied with poems and stories of how things have gone with others. Unfold your own myth without complicated explanations so everyone will understand the passage we have opened you. Start walking toward God. Your legs will get heavy and tired. Then comes a moment of feeling the wings you've grown lifting. Yeah. Unfold your own myth. Yeah. So let's turn within. So just taking a nice deep breath now and letting it go. Just take a moment to feel your feet on the floor and your body in the chair. Connect with your breath as it moves in and out of your body. Feel the wheel of the breath and know that right at the center of the wheel is the heart of God, and let that center merge with your own heart center. And direct your breath in and down into that deep place, the cave of the heart, where you meet the indwelling presence, your higher wisdom self. It sees with the eye of wisdom that is also the eye of love. And it is in this deep place in the center of your heart that you meet the deep path of your own journey. Knowing that the path remains the same, no matter what the shifts and changes are, for it is the path of your own soul work and what it is that Spirit would do in you and through you in this lifetime. And so I invite you to open your heart to this grand possibility of loving your life entirely, because you see not the challenges and the difficulties and the steps forward and the steps back and the things that worked and the things that didn't, and what you still want that doesn't seem to be manifesting yet. It's not about that. That way underneath it is a deep river, a deep pathway that is your evolution in this time as you become awake to who you are as a God being, whole, happy, and free. And so I invite you to place your hands on your heart. I'm going to do some affirmations. Please repeat after me. I walk my soul path in wholeness and joy. I accept the assignment I have been given. I am not fooled by appearances, mine or anyone else's. I open to the deep beauty of my inner awakening. I allow myself to love my life entirely. Let's do it again. I walk my soul path in wholeness and joy. I accept the assignment I have been given. I am not fooled by appearances, mine or others. I open to the deep, rich beauty of my inner awakening. I love my life entirely. And one more time. I walk my soul path in wholeness and joy. I accept the assignment I have been given. I am not fooled by appearances, mine or others. I open to the deep, rich beauty of my inner awakening. I love my life entirely. So take a nice deep breath. And I am so grateful for life, all of it, and grateful for this day and grateful to be right here, right now. And I know that each one of us here, because we are living the divine intelligence of spirit, knows just what to do with what has been said today. I know and accept for us that the deep meaning and richness and beauty of our lives opens up in our awareness, that we realize it's never been about the surface details, as alluring and fun and interesting they are, and as much as they need to be attended to. But somehow we open to this greater depth of appreciation that within each one of us there is a soul assignment and a through line, a deep journey, a deep river that we travel as we awaken to the divine truth of being as abundance and balance and beauty and freedom, as joy and love and order and peace and power and unity and wholeness and wisdom. And so I know full well that spirit is the power that does the work. All we have to do is have the intention to love our lives entirely. And I claim that for myself and anyone else who chooses right here and right now. And so with loving thanks, I release this word. I know wonderful things begin from today. And with loving thanks, I let it be. And together we say, and so it is. Amen. Thank you.